Thank you, man, for Thanksgiving. Thank you for the way we all felt when we woke up this morning on full stomachs, and so many of us around family. And tonight, God, I thank you that this is like the most precious thing, is a room full of people that are willing to listen. And that's very hard to find these days. People that are genuinely wanting to receive, people that are have ears open, God, to something bigger, to something they can grasp, to something they can use. And that's, your heart is so quick to give. And tonight, God, as worship so genuinely invited us to do, our hearts are positioned, God, positioned to receive. And so tonight, God, I pray that it really would be your spirit, that it would be your will, your heart, just speaking boldly through me, through this microphone, through these speakers, into the hearts, and that people would do good things with what they receive tonight. So let it be all you, God, in this moment. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, guys, a lot of you guys know me. I really like Love Invasion Nights and Love Invasion because it feels a lot like family. I've known Josiah for quite a bit of time, and then I'm super blessed tonight to have a lot of my family and really close friends here too. So it's really cool. I feel like I'm just talking to family, so it's great. I'm going to be talking out of Matthew chapter 3. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If not, you can just listen. Matthew chapter 3. All right, I'm going to go. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering the wheat into his barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Amen. I've heard this story quite a bit of times. Growing up in the church, kind of exposed to this story quite a bit. I had friends that painted this story, and here it is. But I'm going to be honest with you guys, I didn't understand a lot of stuff in here. I've never met a man who wears what John wears or eats what John eats, or lives where John lived. I have no idea, well, I had no idea what a threshing floor was, what a winnowing fork was. I've never planted or harvested wheat before. I've eaten in cereal, I think. That's what the box says, right? More sugar than anything, but I guess there's some wheat in there. But I've never been exposed to a lot of this. So how can this word, like how can I fully embrace this word? It's a cool story, right? I mean, you think of a guy out there and he's baptizing, and then eventually he baptizes Jesus, like in this painting in chapter 4, or I guess right after in chapter 3 still, he baptizes Jesus eventually, and I know he dies with his head cut off, like that's how John dies, and that was the extent of it. But an interesting thing happened. Like, Josiah got in touch with me a few weeks ago and was like, "Hey, would you like to speak at the next Love Invasion night?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, that'd be great." And that same day, I kind of like got on my knees, like, "God, like, show me what it is that you want me to speak on that night to whoever it is that's going to listen." And the very next day, I went on a trip. A few of us, there's a group of friends, me, my girlfriend Kristen, and a group of us went up to South Carolina to watch my cousin graduate from boot camp. And then we went on to North Carolina after that. And I felt like God started putting things on my heart even then on that trip. And so I'm going to take us a few places tonight. I hope that's okay with you guys. Some of it's going to be on these screens. Josiah, you can put the first one on there. We're going to go to two deserts, We're going to visit two rivers. We're going to spend some time in a backyard and in an open field in Afghanistan tonight. And, man, I'm so disoriented. I can't do this. I'm going to move around and stuff. All right, the first thing is this. The story we just read took place here. And I don't know if you guys could see. I wish this thing was huge, but there's a river that runs through that. And you can kind of see the outline in green. That's the Jordan River. Okay? Now, right where the mouse is, right there, is where Google Maps determined that this story happened. Okay? And it's a pretty famous spot. I guess a lot of Jews, like, make trips there. It's 20 miles away from Jerusalem. 20 miles is pretty far away if you're walking, which is what these people did. They rode donkeys, I guess, and then they walked. 20 miles from this very spot is like walking to Hollywood, like past downtown where we're going tonight, right? And if you walk north, I think it'll put you somewhere around Lake Worth. So it's a lot of walking to go see one guy. A lot of walking. And I want to kind of like, for the sake of, make this interesting, let's all go there. So imagine right now we're going to leave this place, right? Instead of getting in our cars and going to downtown Fort Lauderdale after I finish speaking, we're going to walk to go see this guy. But we're not walking to a downtown. Where did it say he was at? In a desert, the wilderness, right? So what's the closest wilderness we have? The Everglades, cool. So what if we were going to walk 20 miles into the Everglades? A wilderness is a wilderness for a reason. There's dangers along the way, there's uncertainties, and that's what these people were facing. But they went there anyway because there's this guy, and he's wild. And he's eating wild honey, and he's wearing like animal skins, and he's saying some pretty crazy things too. And we're going there. And when we get there, what do we find? John is telling people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And he's telling them, repent. He's telling them, confess your sins, right? There were people who were confessing their sins to him, and then they were getting dunked in water. So imagine us here. Like, we all go to this wilderness, and there's a guy out there, and we tell him everything that's wrong with us. It's weird. It's like, I don't know, I wouldn't really do that, but they were. We're trusting in the story. We're trusting in the word. So we go out there, and there's this guy, and we tell him everything that's wrong with us. And he puts us in water to symbolize a cleansing that happens. Because when we do confess our sins, we do. We feel light, right? I don't know. I've confessed some sins before, and I felt really light afterwards. I feel like a burden's been lifted. So to represent that cleanliness that comes, you would baptize people. Now, John teaches us that we all have things to repent about. And from what we just read, he had a lot of harsh things to say to the Pharisees and Sadducees, which were like religious people of the time. He really spoke against their pride. They were all like stoked on like, oh, we're the children of Abraham. So like all that pride, he was speaking directly against that and saying like, yo, if God really wanted good children of Abraham, he'd make it out of these stones. And the biggest thing that John represents, all right, like John's entire life was fulfilling a prophecy from this guy Isaiah that came like 400 years before him. And the prophecy was, if you missed it, the prophecy was, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's whole ministry of being out in the desert and baptizing people and listening to people's sins was to prepare the way for Jesus. He was making the people ready to receive Jesus, who was to come. Now, John understood how big the Messiah was going to be. So much so that every time he had a chance, John would always point to the fact that you guys think that I'm something special, but there's one coming after me that's going to blow your minds. Like the baptism that I'm giving, yeah, like it's water. It'll wash. What does water do? It cleans the exterior of things, right? Like it's, you get dunked in the water, but he's like, the one that's coming is going to baptize with more than just water. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. It's going to be fire. Keep that in mind. Now, with that in mind, I want to take you to the second place. And that's another river. This one, all right, cool. This one here is in North Carolina, and this is the city of Wilmington. All right, it's the Cape Fear River. It's got a pretty cool name, Cape Fear. And I have a story to share with you guys that's kind of going to bring this story to life. Me, Kristen, and a friend of ours with her fiance, we're walking along the Cape Fear River on the right-hand side. That's like downtown Wilmington. We're walking there, and it's nighttime. I haven't seen a river in a long time because we're all used to these stagnant canals here that are man-made. And here's this natural river, and it's flowing. You know, I get there, and it's dark, but the water's, like, really murky and brown. It looks like chocolate milk, and there's stuff in it. That was the first thing I noticed. Like, there's stuff. There's, like, chips, like, bags of chips floating down. There's debris, like, all sorts of weird stuff, man, and logs. Logs. That was the cool one. It was like, man, these big logs are floating down the river. And directly in front of where we were standing was this this little sailboat. And behind the sailboat, he was like docked and stuff, like all tied up. But behind the sailboat, it was covered in grass and just twigs and all sorts of stuff that was flowing down from the river. And me and this guy Fish were like watching it, and a big old log comes and like and Fish was like, dude, sometimes these logs like hit the boat. And I was like, wow. And he's like, watch, well, maybe we'll see one. And sure as heck, this big old log comes. And we're like, oh, my God, it's going to hit it. Oh, my God, it's going to hit it. And we're getting super excited. And this log's just like, thump, and like goes around. And we're like, yeah, we're like freaking out. And the weirdest thing, like this old man like emerges from in the sailboat. Guess he like heard the log, you know. And he comes out with like pajama pants on. And he's got this long, skinny pole with him, this long skinny pole, and he walks up and he's like looking around, and he's like starts clearing all the junk off of the back of his boat, and then he walks along the side and he's clearing more stuff. Ooh, I found a pick, and those things vanish, man. You got to hold on to those things. So he's like cleaning up. Ooh, found another. What the heck? He's cleaning up the sides of his boat. He's cleaning up the back, and at that point we were like leaving, right? We're walking away. We're walking further up the river. And as we're walking away, I, for whatever reason, kept looking back. And I would walk, and then I'd look back. And for some reason, and I don't know if any of you guys have that, what I have, and it's like the Spirit will speak to me with imagery. He'll, like, some things just in life won't, they'll stand out. They won't, like, make sense. And it's as if he says, like, remember this, child, because I'm gonna speak to you through this. It's gonna make sense at some point. And it was one of those moments. So I kept looking back as it got further and farther away, and it was dark. It was like barely make it out anymore. But the image was this: this old man standing on his sailboat in the midst of all this murkiness, and he's got his big old pole, and he's like this, like helpless, you know, like there's so much stuff coming down the river. And it was so like insignificant, like him and his man, like, strength of man against this raging river, and then with a little tiny, like, thin pole, you know? And it just didn't make sense to me, so I, like, got that in my mind. So here's the thing. As I'm driving down from the Carolinas that weekend, I'm like, God, like, you did a lot with rivers, man. Because, like, we stopped in Savannah, and there's a big old river in Savannah. And then, like, northern Florida is full of rivers. You're driving down I-95, and you're constantly, there's little signs that say, like, whatever river, whatever river. And so, like, rivers, rivers, rivers. I'm like, God, there's something to do with rivers. And then I read John the Baptist, you know, and he's on the Jordan River. So anyways, here's what I think, guys. The river in Wilmington, Cape Fear, represented to me something really big, life itself. We're all on a river, and there's no getting off of it. Like, not a single person here is going to make it out of life alive. Like, we're all going to die. You know, and as Americans, we're really good at not thinking about death, but it's going to happen, right? Eventually. Where are we at? It's the question tonight. It's one of many questions, but where are we at? I think a lot of people ask that question when they would go to see John the Baptist. Whew. Where are we docked? I mean, this guy was docked at probably the worst place to be docked on the river. I mean, it makes sense because it's a big city, right? It's Wilmington. There's things to do there. But for his boat, it was a pretty, like, messed up place to be docked. I read a sign right there, like, by where his boat was. There was a sign that's like, this is the Cape Fear River, and its headwaters start in this place in the mountains, and it's so many hundred miles north of here, and this is where it lets out into the Atlantic. And it said, and I'll never forget because it was so interesting to me, 29 counties drain their sewage, factory waste, agricultural runoff into the Cape Fear River. And so if you think about that, The very end of the river is the worst place to be, right? Because that's where all the stuff is coming down. That's why the water looks like chocolate milk. And that's why there's all sorts of craziness flowing down. So it's like, why would you ever, if you were ever going to hang out on a river, why would you go there? You wouldn't. It's like the dirtiest place to be. You're at the end of it. And it's like, I feel as though right now, if we take that analogy seriously, if we are on this river, our river, the life right now is murky as heck. I mean, think about what we see on the news. You know, think about what's happening in the world right now. It's really bad, man. It's really bad. I was having a conversation this morning with my brother and his fiance and my friend Isaac, and we were talking about like the refugee situation in Syria. You know, like you can go on and on about that. You can talk about ISIS. You can talk about immigration. You can talk about so many things, and it's heavy and it's thick, and there's so much in the water. And then I thought about the source, because every river has a source. Every river starts somewhere. And if you go up to the mountains of North Carolina and you look at where the Cape Fear River starts, I really doubt the water looks like chocolate milk up there. You know? I really doubt that there's a lot of like bags of Fritos floating down. I don't think that happens because the water's clean at the source. You know, the stream might not be as thick. It might not be like that volume that you get at the bottom, but it's pure. It's honest. You're seeing where it flows from, where it starts. I'd like to take a drink from that, you know? I like to swim in that. I like to like have fun in that. And people were going to John because their insides were murky too. You know? Like, there's a lot of filth in here, as I'm sure you guys have too. We all have problems. None of us are, you know, none of us are squeaky clean on the inside either. That's why people needed to go see guys like John the Baptist. That's why guys like John the Baptist needed to be doing what he was doing, setting up. He was the setup man. John was the most important setup man in history. And so the thing is this. I always go back to what it looks like. Like, what does it look like for us to get washed? For us to get like that baptism, like what would that look like for us? This is a place of honesty, right? So let's get honest. Pornography. And if that word doesn't make you cringe, because that would always make me cringe when I was young at church when that word would come out. But that one, let's go with that one. And yeah, that's a good slide. Keep that slide up, Josiah, the one that's on there now, on the back. Let's put that one on there. I'll get to that in a second. Pornography. I've wrestled with that thing for a long time. And in my heart, the area of my heart that struggled with that thing looked like that. Now, that is a desert in Afghanistan, southern Afghanistan, a place called Helmand Province. Helmand Province has a base, really, really big military base called Camp Leatherneck. And I've spent 14 years of my life in that place. And it's kind of like secret squirrel stuff. You can't really see it. Like, Google Maps won't show you, but that's as close as you can get. But that's what it looks like. Everything there looks like that. So imagine that. Well, at Camp Leatherneck, there's an airstrip, and that's where I worked. I worked on helicopters. And every night after work, me and a group of friends, we would go into this field behind the compound where we lived. And the field looked like that, except there was like, when they built the airstrip, they would put a lot of like trash onto this field. So the field had like these mounds about this high all around, like mounds where like a loader came and like dropped it, and then they dropped it here and here. So there's these like mounds. And at night, it's so dark. There's no lights, so it's like heaven. It's just heaven. And we would go there, me and some other friends, we were doing a Bible study at the time. We would go out into this field, and then like three or four of us out there, but we wouldn't see each other. We'd kind of like space out. And we'd sit there amongst these mounds of trash, because it was the quietest place away from the airfield, and we would sit there and pray. But one night, you know, it was, I guess the moon was out, and I was noticing all the trash, and something inside of me, I felt like the Spirit was saying, it was a heavy word, but he was saying, like, this is what your heart looks like. You know, like, this is what your heart looks like to me in some places. There's areas of your heart that look like this. And I remember feeling hurt, like, man, like, this is heavy. You know, this is really heavy. And he would even say things like, You know, but how would you even begin to clean this up? You know, he'd just be like joking with me. That's the relationship I have with the Father. It's like, I don't know how I would. You know, it would take forever if I, on my own strength, try to like move all this stuff, you know. But that area of my heart looked like that. It really did. And I think we all have areas of our heart that look like that. You don't have to dig very much. You know, you don't have to dig very much. You already know those areas. But here's what I have to say. John's baptism, that baptism by water, looks like this. Last week, I'm with John. John is the guy that, not this John, that John. John, I live with John. He lets me live in his house. And we have an arrangement, don't worry. I'm on my laptop and I'm trying to download this movie for us to watch, this Brazilian movie. And I'm on like a torrent site, all right? I'm not holy. I illegally download movies sometimes. And I'm there, and I don't know if you guys have been on these sites before, like these download movie sites, but there's some raunchy ads, man. Like, raunchy ads on these sites. And, like, right then and there, like, boom, this ad came up. And John was walking by, and he was like, wow, you know, like, dang. Like, that's aggressive. And I was like, yeah, man, like, so sick of this. And, like, John's baptism by water, what it would do would be close the laptop. It's the most practical thing you can do to fight that off in that moment is to close the laptop, right? Exit out the screen, close the laptop, put it away. If you want to be radical, give your laptop away and commit to not looking at computers anymore. Like, it's the thing. That's what you do. That's what John would tell the Jews to do, this kind of stuff. If you read about John the Baptist in Luke, in Luke's account of him, he would tell the people you guys are messed up. And they'd be like, what should we do then? And he'd say, like, give your clothes away to people that need it. Give your food to people that need it. John was a very practical guy. I like him for that reason, too. But again, John's practical baptism by water that cleans, even though it's the exterior, but that cleans, it's effective to that extent. If I would have closed the laptop as soon as like I saw it, then I wouldn't have seen it anymore, right? But then here's the thing about John's baptism. It's not the main one. Like, the main one, he would say, like, is the one that's coming after me, the one that I'm not even worthy to touch his sandals. That's the one that counts. Why? Because it's not just water. Water cleans the outside of stuff. The dishwashers, you know, we have, like, it cleans your dishes on the outside. Like, water does that. It's good at that. But the kind of baptism, the kind of cleansing that me as a human being with my murky river, I need cleansing that comes from the inside out. And I believe that we all in this room need that. There's areas of our lives that look like, not like me, the thing that was on there before, that look like that, that need to change. There's areas that need to change. And so, with that being said, with the laptop thing, yeah, you could close the laptop. But what will eventually happen is, you'll find that you have to close that laptop time and time again, because you closing the laptop isn't going to do away with the porn industry. And even if it would, even if the porn industry would be gone, I would still have a part of me that wants to see it. And so what I really need is to address isn't what comes up on the laptop. What I need to address is that thing in me that's so receptive to that. Where does that come from? How long has that been there? How am I feeding that, whether I like it or not? And how do I begin to get rid of that? That's the real question. That's what John was trying to get at. Was that, guys, there's something wrong with us. And it starts with this. It starts with being clean, confessing your sins, and being washed. But what we really need is yet to come. Stand by. It's coming. That's what John was there for. Now, you could put the next one on. That's where I spent 14 years of my life, right? Well, that is where I spend my time now. And right where that big old backyard there where there should be a house, that's John's backyard. And John's got a number of fruit trees and edible plants and all sorts of good stuff, man. That is a good backyard. But that yard requires a lot of work, a lot of work. I'll tell you right now, out of every backyard that you can see on this like slide here, John's is the most productive. I guarantee you, he could feed the number of houses that are on there off of that backyard. He really could. He can give him a good snack, papayas for days. But that is a good backyard. And it's very different than the yard that I had in Afghanistan, right? Well, I'd like to believe, guys, okay? I speak for only me. I'd like to believe that that area that used to be the desert before now looks a little more like that. But here's the thing. You don't just get that overnight. That doesn't happen that way. If John were here, if this John were here, he would say that. This John can tell you that too. It doesn't happen overnight. That takes work. Now, I've done some work there. I actually did some work there this past week. And what I found was this. Like, I've gotten to the point where I know how to clear land now. Like, there's, like, land that's full of stuff. And, like, John would be like, hey, this is what I want to do with this land. And I'd be like, all right, cool. Like, and I would clear the land. You know, I'd get everything out. And it's a dirty process. You clean everything out. You get rid of that stuff. And then you go through and you pick out all the weeds and you pick out all the rocks. And then you take mulch, which is a beautiful thing with bugs living inside of it, decaying plant matter, and you throw it on there after you plant whatever you want. And what it is that plant is going to soak up the nutrients from that decomposing soil or plant stuff, the mulch. And then I would do that. I would do all of that work, and then it would rain. Like that night, it would rain, and it would rain a lot. And then John would always be like, yeah, this is great for the plants. And so it was like that process there. It wasn't just me. You know, like I would just set up the soil for when the rain came, right? And then the soil would do its thing. Now here, that's what it takes in our heart. We do what we can. We do the baptism that John was talking about. We address those areas. We get clean in those areas, right? We close the laptop because the rain's always going to fall. God's love will always be there. God loves every single one of us. God's grace is there. What are you going to do with that? Because I'm telling you guys now, like you can thrive in God's grace like those plants do when that rain comes because I did the work of setting them up to thrive. Or you can just be that kind of useless ground and it's going to rain. Like it rained in Afghanistan, not as much as it does here, but it rained eventually, you know. But nothing was set up to grow there, so it didn't. And it would just look useless all the time. I feel like with humanity, it's kind of the same way. There's areas of our heart that need cultivating, you know. We need the baptism, both of them, really. I mean, like, we need the real transformation that comes with Christ, but we need to set ourselves up. You know, we do. We need to set ourselves up. I kind of want to end this with, like, there's a really interesting thing that happened to me in Hawaii a few years back. I was with some friends in Waikiki. It was a Friday night. It was like being in downtown. And there was a person. It was this kid. He came up, and I could see before he even got to me, like, he would stop. He was just telling everyone something. He would stop with everyone and say something. Then he'd go to his, he'd say something. And as he got closer, I can kind of start to hear what he was saying. And then when he got to me, he said the same thing. He was telling everyone the same thing. He said, God loves you. And it was so interesting because I talked to this guy. And I was like, what are you doing? And he was like, I'm just out here telling everyone that God loves them. I was like, why are you doing that? He's like, I just felt like God wanted everyone to know tonight that God loves them. He loves them. And I was like, okay, like, how's it been? You know, I was interested in, like, how's that been for you so far? And he was telling me, like, some people would listen. Some people would tell him to F off. You know, he was getting reactions, like, across the board. Like, some people would really be like, hey, man, like, and talk. And he would wind up praying with some people. And other people, he would just, you know, they would kind of ask some stuff. Some people would thank him. That's what he told me. Like, the most interesting ones were people that would thank him. They'd be like, thank you. And so he'd be like, no, don't thank me, thank him. And so guys, like I'm saying that because that reminded me of John. That's what I feel like John was doing. Everyone that would come out to see John, he would say like, guys, we're messed up and we need to change our ways. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Let's change because transformation is coming. Jesus is coming. Now, I think what's the responsibility of you, the audience here tonight, is to do something with that. I just want to leave us with that. It's very personal. This isn't like a... I'm not giving you out specifics right now. I'm just saying that, like, hey, there's areas of our hearts that look like deserts. There's still areas in my heart that look like deserts. We all have those areas, right? It's possible for those areas to be transformed. I don't know what it is in your heart. Hey, let's do this. Let's everyone close our eyes because it's pretty much done. So, like, let's all close our eyes. There's areas right now, as you're looking at the back of your eyelids, there's areas in your heart that look darker than that. I know that because I have that too. And tonight, we're all here together and we have this beautiful opportunity to acknowledge that. Now, as I say that, I know that already something comes to mind. There's already like there's something there, whether it's a person, whether it's a relationship that needs mending, whether it's an act that needs to be done, whether it's a I'm sorry that needs to be issued out. There's something there. We're all very fragile stories packed into this room tonight. And there's unwritten chapters, and there's all sorts of like things that need to happen. So I want us to simply acknowledge that. And in acknowledging that, that there's something there, you're acknowledging that there's a river that's murky. Well, if you're acknowledging that there's a river, then there's got to be a source, right? So acknowledge that too. There's a source. The river wasn't meant to be this murky. It wasn't. And there is a source, and there's a direction to that source. Just like the Cape Fear River, you've got to go north. There's a direction that we've got to go towards that specific thing that's dark. Keep that in mind. Like, keep that in mind as you go from this place. I hope that we, by sitting here tonight and hearing this kid talk, that you can maybe just have learned that there's two sides to this thing. There's something you can do, and there's something that's totally out of your hands. Because you can work in the fields all day, but you can't make a single drop of rain fall from those clouds. I believe that there's a God that sends rain in season. He knows when to do it. But there's work that we can do. We can set ourselves up to receive that rain in a really good way. We can thrive in that. And so whatever that means, whatever that looks like, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that that would come to light. Whether it's right now or whether it's tomorrow, whether it's tonight, whether it's a dream that you have tonight, or whether it's a phone call you receive tomorrow. I don't know what it is. But I believe, and if you have any faith too, then we believe, right? That God's going to do his thing. Let's do ours. And so God, I thank you tonight for this opportunity. I thank you so much for this family that I have in this room. I thank you for every single thing you've put in our lives that get our attention, whether it's old men on ships in Wilmington or whether it's someone downtown tonight. Thank you for loving us. Teach us to love you better. In Jesus' name, amen. So guys, thank you. Thank you for your time. Thanks for listening. And yeah, I hope good things happen tonight. And just remember, all it takes is that. Like, hey, God loves you. You know, that reached a lot of people that night in Waikiki. Yeah, that's it. I don't know how to like end these things too well.